Welcome back to Solid Food. We have changed our name from Solid Food Ministries to Solid Food Resources to reflect better what our purpose is. Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 23. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Verse 11 starts off once again with the repeated phrase, in Him. These many blessings that Paul is writing about are because of Christ, not us. Have you put your faith in Christ alone? He is the only way. As believers, the truth of our future is secure. It doesn't matter what happens to us in this life, for we have an eternal inheritance awaiting for us. God purposed to predestine us, for everything He does is according to His will. The first believers, the first to place their hope in Christ in this new redemption, were for God's praise and His glory. So far in this chapter of Ephesians, we have discovered our redemption, freedom from the sin that bound us, forgiveness, no longer having our sins counted against us, and our adoption and inheritance as sons of God. This means that we are counted as heirs with Christ. This is also talked about in Romans 8:17. No matter what we face on this earth, our eternity has been secured, and our inheritance there awaits us. This gives us the courage to face the trials and difficulties of this life, knowing that a future with Christ is waiting for us. Other passages, along with Romans 8, that speak to this include 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul talks about our momentary afflictions here are nothing compared to the glory that is coming for us in heaven. We can't see it now, but this passage affirms for us this truth, the hope that we have to hold on to during our sojourn here. The gospel is the word of truth, and believing in Christ, the word, see John 1:1, believing in Him saves us. We are then sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is our guarantee that we will get the inheritance promised to us. These verses bring out the truth of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. They show that a true believer, sealed with the Holy Spirit, will not lose their salvation, but is guaranteed an inheritance in heaven. What comfort these words bring. In all of this that we have been talking about is so that God receives the praise. His glory is praised. So much in this chapter has pointed out God's glory, His glorious inheritance, His glorious riches, His glorious grace. All of our salvation is for God's glory. Because these Christians were sealed by the Holy Spirit upon their faith in the Lord Jesus, Paul expresses his thanks for them and praise for them. He also mentions that he has heard of the love they have for other believers. Their faith in Christ and their love for other Christians is known to Paul, which makes him thankful. Hearing how other Christians are doing in the faith and finding out that they are growing should be a cause for us to express thanks to God. We should be continuing to remember each other in prayer. Paul also prays that they would have wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of the hope that they have been called to, and knowledge of the riches of God's inheritance to them as believers. Do we pray such prayers for our fellow Christians? Do we pray this for ourselves? Are our eyes enlightened to know this knowledge? God's power is immeasurable. As an example of his incredible power, Paul reminds his readers that God raised Christ from the dead and then seated him at his right hand above all other rulers and powers for all eternity. God put everything in subjection to Christ and made him the head of the church. This church is his body, his fullness. Christ fills all in all, and we are his body. This paragraph just shouts of God's immense power and authority over all of creation. And he has chosen us as believers to be his own. What tremendous grace and incredible privilege we have in Christ. God's power is revealed in Christ's resurrection, so we never have to fear that he will not complete what he has started, which is also something that is shared in Philippians 1:6. So after all the observations and bombarding the passage with the 5W questions, and then determining what the passage says, we then move on to the stage of interpretation. What does the passage mean? Many times this becomes obvious through the observations we make. Other times it takes a little more digging. The more observations we make, the more accurate our interpretation will be. Once we've determined what the passage means, what it meant to the original audience, as it will never mean now what it never meant then we can check commentaries to see if our interpretation is correct or off the mark. But it's good to not use commentaries until we've done the hard work ourselves of determining the meaning. When we have determined the meaning of the passage from careful observation and looking at it in context, we see what principles are in this passage that are timeless. That is, principles that were true for the original audience that are also true for us. This helps us to make application from the passage from the timeless principle. A word of caution here. Not every passage is going to have application in the sense of telling us what to do or how to live. Sometimes the application of a passage may simply be showing us who God is or part of his character. The application of that helps us to live in light of who we know God to be. So what is Ephesians 1 telling us? A summary statement for the chapter could be something like this: God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. The chapter then goes into detail on what some of these blessings are. So how do we then take that and apply it? Application will be different for each person. There is only one meaning, but multiple applications. Here are some ideas to get you thinking in regards to personal application for this chapter. How does knowing my forgiveness and inheritance cause me to live differently? What impact does that take for my daily life? Who can I pray for with the prayer that Paul used? How am I praying this for myself? So that concludes our look at Ephesians chapter 1. Next time, we'll continue on with these principles of observation, interpretation, and application, and see how that will bring about an understanding of Ephesians 2.